Bonjour, mon frère. I see that you have chosen to listen to the board game Point of View. You are aware, of course, that they are a member of the Dice Tower Network, no? Oh, you do know. And yet you want to continue listening very well, c'est la vie. Do not say, I did not warn you. Au revoir.
Should we just jump into it?
What do you say?
How we always do it?
Let's do it. Let's do it. This is podcast gold right here.
Yes.
Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming. My name is Adam. Tonight I'm joined by Steven, who needs to open his root beer.
Give me a minute.
Okay. And Seth.
Hey.
Dude, this is very intimate.
I know. It is. That's why we're keeping our pants on.
Where are you guys at?
We're just at my kitchen table.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
But he has the mic very close
That's
to
right.
us,
so... Yeah.
Makes sense.
And the three of us, we are proud members of the Dice Tower Network. And have been for a number of moons now.
Many moons.
That's right. I think it's been going well. We haven't gotten kicked off yet, so we must be doing okay.
And really, like, the minimum amount of hate mail.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a requirement, but at least it's not just flooding us yet.
Right. So. Yeah, we're about 50-50 at this point with the mail, so.
Wait, really? Nah. So really? Have we gotten any hate mail? That would be awesome.
Maybe that's just my personal.
Okay.
Maybe I am receiving hate mail, but.
Well, tonight we have a podcast chock full of games. We're going to talk about three different games, and we've got a themed podcast tonight, which we like to do on occasion.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about deck building, and I don't know that we've really talked about deck building much on the podcast.
Mentioning Dominion, maybe.
Yeah, the granddaddy of deck building, I think we have mentioned. And at this point, I think most people have played Dominion and one of the 10 expansions that it has. But before we do that, let's talk about life. How's life going for you boys?
Fantastic. I bought a new pair of shoes the other day. Same ones as my old shoes. Feeling good.
Dude. Rocking them sweet kicks.
Dude, you know it.
So what flavor of shoe do you like to wear?
The Adidas Neo.
Dude, straight out of the Matrix right there.
Right, wow. Exactly. I feel like Neo. Running around in those. Move faster than people can see. It's crazy.
Well, don't try to stop any car just by waving your hand like in the middle of traffic.
No, I gotta wave my feet, obviously.
Okay, wave your feet. Okay.
Just like do the jump, like heel click.
Right. Traffic stop.
I'll try it out.
Yep.
Nice. How's the job?
It's going well. I'm getting used to everything, so now I basically just show up and do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about trying to like do good and stuff, so it's pretty great.
Okay. So you just show up and start playing board games when you're supposed to be making pizza and it's all good.
Nah, I can't play board games because my hands are always like dirty and stuff, you know, from touching the food. So I can't get that on the cards or pieces, so I can't play board games.
Well, and naturally you don't wash your hands.
No, never. Right? Not even one time. No. We have a dirty rag that sits up on the shelf all day.
Oh, man, I'm glad I don't eat gluten anymore.
I also make the gluten-free, so...
Oh, no! With gluten on his hand.
Right. I toss one pizza, and then I go straight to, like, just smearing the sauce with my hands on the gluten-free pizza.
No gloves, even. Just bare-handing it. Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. I used to be a professional Magic player in college.
Really?
No, not really.
Oh.
But My friend and I worked at an airport, and we were the guys that would run out onto the tarmac and unload the airplanes when they arrived. We got to bring them in, too, like with the glow wands, like a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right.
Nice.
But between airplanes, we would play magic just in the back room for hours. So getting paid to play magic.
Nice. I never knew about that.
Yeah.
Wow.
How many like air traffic control towers were knocked over because you steered planes into them?
Well, the traffic control tower was down the way from the terminal, so.
Yeah, they didn't actually steer them. They just stood there waving the little glowing sticks.
Right. They're like, okay, guide this plane in. Right. But in reality, you weren't doing anything.
Air traffic control's like, hey, you see those guys with the glowing sticks? See how close you can get to them?
Yeah. We're having lightsaber battles on the runway. Yeah. Steven.
Yes.
How's your life?
My life is good-ish.
Okay, all right.
No, it's just my job is very stressful as of late.
Yeah.
And this weekend we have the Montana, like the state wrestling tournament at the Metro, which is one of our busiest weekends of the whole year. And so we all knew that Friday and Saturday were going to just suck.
Okay.
And then today, a Thursday, you know, spoilers, we're recording this on a Thursday, I show up to work and I'm just greeted with by the way, at 11:30 we have a party of 50 people coming in.
Oh my gosh.
And then at noon we have a party of like 30 people coming in on top of the usual lunch rush, and I'm like, oh, so I'll just go kill myself, is what you're saying. So then that was just a huge mess because we were understaffed and everything else and a lot of fun. So basically the moral of the story is at the end of a Thursday, I am every bit as grumpy, exhausted, physically and mentally and everything else as I usually am on a Saturday.
Wow.
But I still have Friday and Saturday to go, and it's going to be busier than today was. So I may not be on another podcast.
Rip.
Steven may jump into the fryer and just end it all.
Yes. But outside of that, life is going well, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a new job waiting for you in the wings.
I do.
Yeah. Just a few months.
I mean, hopefully my boss doesn't listen to this now. Because he doesn't know.
That's awkward.
Thanks for giving my notice.
Go back to work tomorrow. It's like, sorry, Steven, you're fired.
Well, maybe we'll edit that part out. But
no, leave it in. He doesn't listen. I mean, what are really the odds?
Now that you've said that.
That's right.
No, he actually isn't. Yeah.
Life is good. Yeah. It's good all around.
Last thing I'll say.
Okay.
And I'll just leave it at this. So okay. It's real cryptic.
Okay.
But believe it or not, you know, all the way back in episode like one of this podcast, we were talking about how, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and Seth made the comment of, I'm doing it for the fans.
Right.
For the ladies and all that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Well,
I think Seth was doing it for the worshipers, as I recall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah,
he wanted people to worship him. Not.
That's right.
Fans were not enough.
Yeah. Maybe I was the one looking for ladies.
Yeah, there you go.
Either way, I actually kind of have a lady friend now.
Got a lady friend. Nice.
Because of the podcast.
Nice. Obviously because of the podcast.
Nice.
Except not really at all.
No.
Still
but
nice.
It's my podcast voice.
There you go.
In person that won. So, you know, it's all related.
But. How about you, Adam?
I already talked about being a magic player. I'm good.
That's it. Okay. That's like your past life.
He parties too much to remember the last.
I respect it.
It's just work in the headquarters.
I will say the last like 5 or 6 episodes were like, Adam, how's your life?
Yeah.
And you go, headquarters.
Headquarters. It's kind of where I live. I've got a bed there now. Yeah.
Well, it is the headquarters.
It is the headquarters.
Are the closets getting sprinkled now?
They are on their way to getting sprinkled. We got to make sure the firewalls are legit so that the walls don't burn down.
To protect against hackers.
Of course.
Right. So yeah, my life's just revolving around the HQ. these days.
Is there a revolving door?
No.
Will there be?
That happen?
I don't know. That's a good question.
If so, it adds another month.
Right? you don't even want to know month. About the revolving door codes.
Then no, we're not having a revolving door on the HQ.
Because the revolving door impacts the firewall and therefore definitely changes the sprinkler zones and the foundation has to be re-poured.
It does.
To support.
You say all this, but it's almost true. So
that's the sad.
It's pretty ridiculous. So before we talk about the slew of deck building games we have for you tonight, let's talk about a few games coming down the pipe.
Yes,
set
sir.
To drop. Any day now, really.
Any second.
It could happen.
It could. Right
I'm
now.
Refreshing the page.
Yep. Yeah. You better just keep at it. That's right. As any of our listeners know, we adore Star Wars.
We do.
Well, Fantasy Flight is hitting us with another one.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebellion. And it looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So much hype. You mentioned all the hype a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, now that I've seen it and read about it, yes.
Yeah.
Hype to the max.
You are on board the hype train at this point. Yeah. Yeah, it's basically Star Wars in a box. So you're playing the Rebellion. You're playing the Empire. The Empire is hunting down the Rebellion at all these different hidden planet locations. So many miniatures in this box. What was the count?
150, I believe.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, they have terrific artwork on cards. They have the miniatures. They have two separate game boards. Mm-hmm. They have all of the planets, characters. It's a two-player game, but it can be played two teams of two, so
right.
up to four players. And it's even has an element of like an aspect of almost role playing,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Or as far as like how you play your faction,
right?
Is like a big deal because if you are playing as the Rebellion, you have the smaller military that's weaker, and so you have to use like very strategic
strategery.
Yeah, exactly. But like hit just like supply chains and
right.
hit and run tactics, all that kind of stuff. And work to get people to join your cause.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Empire has the huge military that just tries to overpower everything.
Right.
But I don't know. It sounds like a really awesome mix of a lot of things.
Right.
The miniatures, obviously not like X-Wing status.
Right.
But they are very cool and detailed all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from fighters to larger troop transports and freighters and everything
else. The Death Star.
Right. The Death Star.
The second There's Death Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's two complete Death Stars and I think an unfinished one.
Yeah, the one from episode 6.
Right.
Wait, why are there two complete ones?
Because you can build a second one.
What?
As the Empire, yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it even looks like they have heroes in the game as well, like Luke Skywalker, of course,
mm-hmm.
Han Solo. There's an option I read about where you can freeze Han Solo in carbonite.
Yeah.
And like all of that.
Yeah, you want to do that.
Straight out of the movies.
Yeah. This game looks epic. Like, you're going to set this up and it's going to completely fill any standard American size table. You might need to put two tables together in Europe for this game. So, It's very grand scale, and I think it plays in about 2.5 to 3 hours.
On the website, it says 3 to 4 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe not one that you will play super frequently, unless you're really hardcore,
right.
But looks like a terrific game all the same.
Yeah. So that's one I wanted to mention. The other one that I just saw today is the Ninja Turtles board game on Kickstarter.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And I looked at it briefly, and the box art is the cool, all the turtles wearing the red masks artwork
that
from the comic books.
That is your favorite variant.
It is, yeah. And I looked at it briefly, and it looks like it's playing like a side-scroll video game, where you've got your minis, and they are taking care of baddies as they walk down the streets of New York. So... maybe something to look into. It's on Kickstarter. There should be a handful of days left for you to check it out and maybe invest when this podcast drops. But if you're a Ninja Turtles fan like I am, something to look into for sure.
Dude, speaking of Kickstarter and games coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
Scythe. still on its way.
It is, yeah. Updates happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
I received one yesterday. Update number 24.
Nice. And 24 updates in like 2 months.
Yeah.
It's intense.
And not going to lie, the updates, while I appreciate them.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit much. This time it was photos of the box size.
Nice.
Compared to other games.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, that's cool, but... Either way, though,
yeah,
still tons of hype.
Right.
Really excited. Now I know how big the box is.
There you go.
Will it fit in your shelf or not? You know?
It will.
Nice.
Not.
Oh. Well, now you know. Now you can get a new shelf.
Well, now I have like 6 months to build a shelf.
There you go.
Just exclusively for Scythe.
That's why you're getting the updates.
Yeah.
They're preparing you.
Yep. Yeah. No, but for reals, though, it looks really cool still.
Yeah.
And the only thing I added to mine is just the art book.
Yeah. I ordered that as well.
Nice.
So we can sit next to your new shelf and read the art book together.
While munching on hot tamales.
Okay. Because that's what they eat in the world of Scythe.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes,
exclusively.
Whoa, hold on. There's
there's
a Kickstarter game that has been successfully funded and is very close to shipping. I think March or April is when they're planning on actually releasing all of the copies to the backers.
Nice.
And Secret Hitler is a game that I've actually played already because I downloaded the print and play. And it's a hidden rules game, kind of like Resistance or Mafia. There's liberals versus fascists in this pre-World War II Germany, and you're basically trying to figure out who Hitler is, and he's trying to pretend like he's on the liberal side and pass laws, and then in the end game, if you accidentally elect Hitler Chancellor, then the game is over because he just takes over and starts the Third Reich. So it's pretty great.
Well, it's a very unique theme.
Yeah, it is.
But I will say that does sound oddly enjoyable.
Yeah, no, it's
playing as a secret Hitler.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. At first, when you hear it's like politics, you're like, I mean, how much fun can politics really be? But it's less politics and more just tricking your friends, like all good hidden rules games. So
right.
You're trying to convince them, oh, maybe I passed this fascist law because I had no choice, or because I wanted to use this power for the liberals. But in reality, you could just be evil.
Yeah,
all those sorts of games, like you mentioned, Coup and like Avalon and stuff, I've always really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun.
And
I've heard good things about Secret Hitler.
Yeah, popular opinion is that it's better than Resistance. And, I mean, obviously better than like Mafia. But
yeah. Obviously. So have you gotten your grimy paws on this game yet? Will you be receiving a copy?
Oh, no, I haven't ordered it, but I might, because I saw a lot of success with my group of friends, so.
Yeah, the artwork is really interesting in this game,
too. Yeah, I was
going to
say, Hitler
too.
Is like a lizard. All of the fascists are some sort of cold-blooded reptile.
Okay.
I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah, you should look this up, Steven. Hitler's just wearing this little hat. And his face looks kind of like a velociraptor, but I think he's just like an iguana or something.
Okay. Steven is looking at the artwork right now.
He definitely is some form of reptile.
He is, yeah.
I know.
I especially like the fascist who has like the military uniform and then a snake coming out.
Yeah, it's so funny.
What are that?
Yeah, it's very specific to the era, I think.
Actually, not even 60s. That'd be before.
Yeah. That'd be the 40s, yeah.
Side note, I love history. But enough about the weather.
Yeah.
Hey, what? This is going off the rails. So, deck builders.
Should we talk about deck builders?
I think we should.
Okay. Well, the first deck builder we're going to talk about was actually a Kickstarter. when it was released.
So many tie-ins.
I know, yeah. This is a game by Tasty Minstrel, and it's called Eminent Domain.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I guess before we talk about this, we should also disclose that we've actually only played this two-player. We tried to play it with more than two players, but for whatever reason,
nobody wanted to play less.
We got it all set up for like a 3-4-player game, and then it's like, wait a minute, there's only two people. Where did everybody go?
So, like with any good deck builder, you start with a hand of cards, shuffle up, and draw from that deck. The premise of Eminent Domain is that you are a small corner of the galaxy and you are trying to expand your empire by collecting planets that in turn will produce resources for you and help you grow your civilization and your technology and your military might. It's interesting. You start the game with just 5 different types of cards, and I guess for the majority of the game, you're just playing with these 5 different types of cards. So you're going to be playing with a survey card, warfare, colonize, a produce and trade, and then you've got research cards as well. You can play a card for an action, which starts your turn. You can also play a card as a roll. So the action you take is something that you can do alone, and then you do a roll. So let's say you want to survey some planets. If you play, say, 3 survey cards, you get to draw 3 planets off the top of the deck, look at them, and potentially keep one. Let's say you want to colonize a planet. Each planet takes a number of colonized cards to actually acquire. So you'll be playing 4 or 5 colonized cards at the same time to colonize a planet. You can also take planets over with warfare, where you will be playing warfare cards to collect little ships.
It's funny because the instant you see them, you just feel like they need to have different roles because of the different sizes,
right,
and designs. And in reality, they do almost nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, really, it represents like your power. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as you use them, they're just gone.
They disappear. And no matter into the
what
void,
size ship you have, it doesn't like change. So I sat down and I'm like, oh, look at these sweet ships, because they are very cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what's the difference between the big ones and the small ones? And you're like, well, nothing really. It's
intimidation.
Personal, yeah. Intimidation, some personal preference on what, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, that's, huh.
Yeah. I will say that the expansion, it's called Escalation, actually legitimizes these ships and gives each of the sizes a different purpose. So the expansion gives them purpose. Just the
answers
initial,
all of my questions.
That's right, it did.
Pretty much. But
the initial game, yeah, the ships are very cool. 3 different sizes. The other cards you have are your produce and trade. So this is allowing you to produce resources on the planets you have acquired or trade those goods away for points. And then research is what you do to acquire technology. And I think the crux of the game lies in the technology, because you can just keep acquiring these 5 different cards, but without the technology to kind of boost your civilization, I think you're going to get left behind a little bit.
Yeah, technology is the equivalent of buying other cards in deck builders. Like, you start out with your basic like money that you can draw or resources, and you buy those better cards from either the store or the draw pile. And technology is that same thing, where it allows you to trade in those resources on your turn for a card that's going to help you along later.
Right. The interesting thing about this game is that they did so much with just the basic cards that I felt like it was kind of hard to get that technology. And it took the majority of the game before you were really acquiring those really nice cards to add to your deck.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt the same way, Seth.
I did. I played a game where I went straight technology. All I did was technology as my role, and tried to amass as many influence points that way as I can. Of course, mm-hmm. collecting technology cards along the way. And right. the fact that you still have to be able to colonize planets and take them over somehow in order to get those higher level technology cards slows that down a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I think the thing that differentiates this from maybe other deck builders is something that I really like is that if somebody has played an action that you also want to take, even though it's not your turn, you can then follow them and play cards from your hand of a similar type to perform the same action out of turn. And I think that really makes this game at least stand out amongst other deck builders.
Right. And I think that mechanic would be a lot more fun in a game with more than two people as well.
Right.
Because yeah. it was good with two people, but having everyone be able to follow, then it mm-hmm. really you have to weigh your options when you're doing something.
Right. Yeah, I suppose you could follow everybody at the table and it would get to your turn and you may only have one card left.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, what was your strategy though when you played it? Because I immediately went Warfare, but then so did my opponent. And we realized very quickly that the roll cards for Warfare were running out and the game was almost over. We're like, oh crap, how do we get more ships now?
Right,
so, because it's funny.
Yeah, the game ends when one of these stacks of the kind of main five cards is depleted.
Well, it's funny because I also went Warfare the first time I played. Great minds think alike, right, Seth?
Yes.
And but the only difference in our game was that Adam, instead of also doing Warfare, went total just peace loving,
that's right.
tree hugging. Just
wait, so like just colonizing?
Yeah, pretty much,
just colonizing.
Colonizing yeah. and surveying was just his thing.
Yeah,
nice.
And so he beat me in the end, not by a whole lot, I don't think, not by a wide margin, mm-hmm. but it was mainly just comical because he had all these planets and he's like being all peaceful, like, yeah. oh, I'll just colonize the, and I was just blowing up, just right. going to war with everybody, like, oh, mm-hmm. sheer force.
So, yeah.
A lot of contrast between our two play styles.
Right.
Then the second game, we were both much more balanced and both mm-hmm. kind of went more for the technology.
Yeah. I actually tried to keep my deck really thin.
Yeah.
Which, I try this in every deck builder we play, and it never works out for me.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
It's in the name. Deck
yeah,
building.
Yeah, building those decks, yeah.
Yeah, and there are certainly ways you can pair your strategy with the technology cards. I know I've acquired the tech where you can turn your ships into points, just cash them in. As it were, and I think Steven acquired that technology at 1.2 during our game, where he's got mm-hmm. this giant fleet of ships that he's just cashing in for points
yes.
each turn. Yeah.
Yes, giant fleets.
That's right.
For the win. Of all shapes and sizes, even though in our game that did not matter, but I felt cool, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, and escalation not only adds kind of those ship meanings, but it also adds a fifth player. Which we can't even fathom at this point.
We haven't even gotten to three. Right. So, yeah.
And it adds additional technology. And I've heard that expansion really takes this game up a notch. Okay. I know a lot of people that have put it on their for sale or trade pile at one point and then played the expansion and ended up keeping the game. And they've got their third expansion coming out this year at some point, if it hasn't already released, called Exotica, and this is where you're befriending alien cultures, mining asteroids, and I want to say it adds another tech where you have to have one of each kind of planet before you can acquire the tech.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, something to look out for if you are a space exploration deck building type of gentleman or lady.
Befriending people is right up your alley.
It is. It sounds like a good expansion.
Yeah, and there's actually a version for only two players of this game called Microcosm, which
right.
I also had the chance to play. And it's very similar in the way it's played. I don't think there's following. I played this actually a while ago. But
okay.
One thing you can do is you can attack planets that your opponent has discovered. Nice. So if they haven't colonized them yet, you can attack them. And there are also cards, technologies, and stuff you can get that allow you to like take cards from your opponent's hand or from their discard pile. So you can actually trade cards and trade planets. So it allows a little bit more of interaction than the base game. And that was kind of fun. So like right at the end, playing this like political card that allows you to just commandeer some influence points.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I like that idea of being able to take over another player's planets. And what I feel like is that Tiny Epic Galaxy kind of took some of the really good ideas in Eminent Domain and made them even better, because you can follow in Tiny Epic and you can try and take over planets that others are trying to take over simultaneously. I don't know, for you, Steven, which would you prefer to play of those two games?
Eminent Domain.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Why is that?
Because of those ships, man. Those ships, and I don't know, I found myself enjoying Eminent Domain more.
Really?
Yeah. That's exactly sure why, but Tiny Epic Galaxies is definitely a good game, and I enjoyed it much more than I enjoyed Tiny Epic Kingdoms.
Right.
But yeah, I would still say that Eminent Domain I prefer.
Nice. So. I'm actually going to say I'd prefer Tiny Epic Galaxy. Nice. Yeah.
The only thing I'll give Tiny Epic Galaxies, and I mentioned this when we played Eminent Domain, is that I really enjoyed the... it had more variety in the artwork for the planets.
Right.
Because just like in Tiny Epic Galaxies, Eminent Domain has each individual planet has a unique name, which is very cool. But every planet of the three planet types, like within each category, they look the exact same. And while they look very good, they all look the same. It's just cloned planets in each. And that was a little bit of a letdown, because in Tiny Epic Galaxies, every single card was a little bit different. Like, even if it was like it was the same design but different colors, that's still enough of a contrast to make it all feel much more like an actual galaxy with a bunch of unique just flavors here and there popping out. Seth, your brother just texted me.
What is Josh up to these days?
I don't know, but he's demanding that I dark sit for you guys.
Nice.
I'll deal with him later. Well, but
he gets his driver's license, and all of a sudden he's demanding.
Yeah, he's got the big boy things, pants on,
right? Nice. Should we move on to our second deck building game?
Let's do it.
We shall.
Let's talk about Marvel Legendary from Upper Deck.
Ah, snap!
I think most people, when they hear Upper Deck, they think of just sports cards. Baseball.
Or double-decker buses.
Sure.
Or ships.
That's what I thought of.
Really?
I thought of a ship. Did you going up to, like, the poop deck?
The upper deck is referring to the cheap seats at a stadium.
I didn't even know that.
Okay.
Yeah, me either, actually. It makes sense.
Is this a baseball thing?
No, it is a baseball thing, yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't watch baseball.
Right.
We've been over this.
You hit a home run into the upper deck.
Okay, see?
Yeah.
It seems like a baseball thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But they're making, and have been for a while, games for people to play. And Marvel Legendary is one of those games that you can purchase and play in your very own home.
Kind of, it blows the mind a little bit.
Yeah. So, as you probably concluded, this is about superheroes.
No. No way.
It is, yeah.
Which is obviously a just great theme.
Can't go wrong. Superheroes.
I know. It's very accessible.
Especially licensed superheroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you have a game and you have people like Wolverine and Spider-Man on the cover, you know, like, wow. This is going to reach a huge audience.
Right.
And yeah, if the game is not that great, it's just the theme just kind of makes it for people who play it.
Sure.
Yeah, I remember that I saw it for the first time in Barnes & Noble, and I knew almost nothing about the game, but I saw it was Marvel.
Yeah.
And as soon as I even just saw that brand, I was drawn to
to it, and then I was just looking at the art on the box.
Right.
Thought, wow, this game looks really cool before I even knew almost anything about it.
Yeah. And I think we are fortunate enough to have joined the board gaming phenomenon in a time when seeing a licensed product like Marvel or Star Wars on a board game is actually becoming a pretty good thing. Whereas in the past, I think kind of intellectual property was slapped on monopolies and clues and things of that nature. And generally not that much fun, but now this intellectual property is actually a lot of fun to play.
Yes.
Yeah. So the premise of Marvel Legendary is obviously you are playing superheroes, and it's a cooperative deck builder. So you are fighting against other supervillains who have kind of ensconced themselves in the city and whatnot, wreaking havoc about the town, as it were.
Yes, and I will say that by far that is the coolest aspect of this game.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's co-op, there aren't very many co-op games in general,
mm-hmm.
but especially a co-op deck builder like this, I thought was really unique.
Yeah.
And I know that my friend and I, when we played it, just had a lot of fun. It almost reminded me, because the only like competitive side is at the very end of it, you tally how many like knockouts, not kills, because
right.
I mean, we're superheroes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Captures.
Like how many captures and like knockouts and various things like that.
Civilian
that
rescues.
One, yeah.
Right.
See, you count up all those points, and whoever has the most points technically wins the game.
Right.
But you still win as a team at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it reminded me of like certain co-op video games where you're doing the mission, you complete the mission, and one player has, you know, more kills.
Right.
So it gets the higher score, but it's like, hey, we did it together. So I didn't even really mind the very minor, like, competitive aspect.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the mechanics of it are a lot of fun. You start with a deck, and you start with just minor Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. On each card, you're going to have a recruiting power, and some cards have the ability to attack as well. So you are playing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to recruit different superheroes that are available to you at the time. And as you recruit them, you're going to add them to your deck, and they're going to allow you to do other things. At the same time, villains each turn are kind of revealing themselves, and they're working their way along a track, and they're trying to capture innocent bystanders and flee the city with these innocent bystanders and probably whatever loot they have stolen from the city, and you're trying to knock them out before they can leave the city.
Yes.
All the while, a super boss is kind of every now and then showing up as you are drawing villains from the deck, and
he's overseeing the whole shebang.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if they actually win the game, it's not even it's not like defeating all the villains in the deck.
Right.
It's defeating the main supervillain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You have to muster enough strength.
Yes.
To attack this supervillain, I think, 5 times.
And as you draw from the villain deck, occasionally plot twists come up.
Right.
And that will change almost the rules of it to an extent, but mainly like, oh, these cards now have this buff, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, if a villain reaches this point, you get this setback, or, you know,
right.
things of that nature.
Yeah, you'll be acquiring wounds over the
yeah.
course of the game, and these do nothing for you in your deck.
Yeah, I gotta say, the Master Strike and the Plot Twist cards are probably my favorite part of the whole game, because you're just,
mm-hmm.
like, drawing villains, and sometimes it's, like, henchmen, right? And you're not so worried. But then,
right.
as more plot twists get drawn, and you're closer and closer to, like, losing the game, like, one of the instances I played was Portals to the Dark Realm, I think it was called. So every time you draw a plot twist, a portal comes out and is placed over the city, and any villain that's in that space gets like a buff to his attack power. But also, as soon as you draw the 7th portal, then the game is over and you lose. So you're just like hoping you can defeat this villain before all the portals come out,
right.
and engulf the city.
Yes, one of the instances that I played had to do with them cloning superheroes. So you're fighting other heroes. So
oh, wow.
So you choose actually heroes and put them in the villain deck. So then all of a sudden, like, a Captain America pops up.
Right.
And you're like, oh gosh, because every one of the heroes has a buff added to them as well.
Wow.
So they're already stronger than your average henchman or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And they also get a +2 to their attack. But the cool thing is, instead of having to buy those heroes, if you defeat the hero, like, you gain him as a card.
Wow.
So that's like the advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're much more difficult to defeat.
Hmm.
So that was an interesting one that I played, because you're playing through, oh yeah, henchmen, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, another hero that you have to fight. And then it's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the framework they've set up for this game to kind of hang on is really cool. I think you can tell a lot of different stories with this game.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, there are 6 expansions, I think, and another one set to release this year, Captain America's 75th anniversary. So they're going to have an expansion just dedicated to him. But you can pick up like the Fantastic Four and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And
because I believe in the base game, it has X-Men and the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As the main two groups, which that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's plenty right there.
Yeah.
My friend and I only had the base game, and, you know, just having Iron Man and all those guys was still more than enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it would get stale after a while, but sure. I'm just saying you don't have to have the expansions.
Right.
Yeah, and even when you're rotating through characters, at the same time you're rotating through scenarios, the masterminds, there's 4 different masterminds, and then different henchmen groups, and then different like little villain groups too. So it's a lot of diversity. Then you all just shuffle it all together every time, which is another part that I think really works well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's cool because if you want to, in your own hand, you can collect various cards for all of the heroes
mm-hmm.
and have a variety, or you can just collect a bunch of cards for one hero
mm-hmm.
because depending on the actual like abilities and skills, they work well with each other.
And I think the ability to combo is a strength of deck building. And when you can do that and it's fun and it's this awesome theme, I think that just makes for a winning game.
And I guess the last thing we should mention about Legendary, though, is there is another version.
There is. From what I hear, a better version of the Legendary system.
And it is called Legendary Encounters. And I'm actually very interested in this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of the Alien franchise.
Right.
The movies. You know, I've been playing Alien Isolation, the video game even. Mm-hmm. So when I heard that the legendary mechanic of like a deck building game like this, which I really enjoyed, was available in Alien like format, like, with Alien artwork and stuff, I'm like, what? Maybe it only appeals to me though.
I don't think so.
I mean, well, not only to me.
Yeah,
but
I'm not interested.
It does seem less accessible than Marvel, of course.
Sure,
definitely. Like,
Marvel's a very broad audience. Alien is more, you know, sci-fi fans and something a little bit more specific.
Mm-hmm.
But very cool all the same.
Yeah.
I might have to get my hands on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's also a Predator version as well.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not sure
Alien
if they...
is better. So.
I can't speak to that, but...
I think you can combine the two. Yeah.
I'm sure. Alien versus Predator.
That's right.
Right.
Legendary edition. No.
Should we talk about our last deck builder?
Yeah, Star Realms. Evening? Wait.
What? No.
No, get out of here.
We gave that 5 minutes like a year ago, and that's all it really
needs. Surprise, we have 4 deck builders in the episode tonight. Seth, tell us all about Star Realms.
Well, basically, you know, there's not really much to say. You know, you just kind of play cards and... just play every card in your hand all the time.
That's right.
And build decks.
Build decks. And buy the stealth needle, I think it was.
Oh, I hate that stealth needle.
Anyways, good memories.
Origins 2015,
that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, this last deck builder we're going to talk about, I believe, came out shortly after Dominion did, which surprised me after we played it. But this is Arctic Scavengers, and we have the reprint, which includes the HQ and Recon expansions. Like many themed board games, this is a post-apocalyptic kind of frozen tundra of a world where you are the leader of a colony and you are trying to grow your colony to a size that is larger than the other three playing with you. So you start the game with a deck of refugees, scavengers, a brawler, some equipment like spears and shovels. And what I like about Arctic Scavengers is that each card can potentially do like five different things, depending on how you want to play it. So you're not limited to just doing one thing when you play a single card. So for instance, to help grow your colony, you're going to need food and medicine and things like that to recruit others to join your colony. And so you're sending scavengers out to look through junk piles for different things, and you're sending them out to collect food. And there's also kind of a fighting aspect to this game. You're not necessarily fighting each other, but you're fighting over really good resources.
No, you're definitely fighting each other. It's not all about winning the battle. It's about the aftermath of the battle.
Sure.
So it's still basically about winning the battle.
So basically it's 100% still about winning the battle.
So yeah, but just actually pure fighting. You know what?
That's right. You are fighting against each other. Okay. So you can send out your scavengers to search, hunt. You can send them out in teams as well. So if you have, say, three scavengers, you'll be able to dig through the junk pile and draw three cards from that pile, look at them, and then keep the best one. You can also do the same with food. So you can send out hunters, maybe. Maybe you've convinced a hunter to join your colony, and you're going to send him out, and he's going to be able to gather twice as many resources as say, just a normal scavenger. Sometimes you may find refugees or tribe families. These are just small communities of people that you invite into your colony, and you'll need to give them tools because they really can't do anything, which I think is a really awesome aspect of this game. As you root around in the junk pile, you may find a multi-tool or some medicine.
Or a pickaxe.
Right. And all of these things are going to help you do all of the actions you can take a little bit better. At the end of the round, you will all have set aside a group of individuals who will go to battle over the contested resource, which is always a better resource than you're going to find just in the junk pile. And these are things that you want, as I've discovered playing this game.
You want them real bad.
You do.
Well, you can find a wolf pack. That's
just open a door and there's a wolf pack, yeah.
But don't worry, you befriend them. They become your wolf pack. You can find better tools, or in this case, weapons, mm-hmm. like a hand grenade. That's right. Always nice to have in a sticky situation.
The hand grenade is funny.
Hand grenade is crazy.
Because it's a deck-building game, and you can use the hand grenade multiple times, so I'm not exactly sure how you...
Basically, I believe you pull the pin, you bluff like you're going to throw it. everyone scatters, and then you put the pin back in. Possibly the coolest card, at least that we found, is the field
team.
Crew.
Oh.
The sled team?
Not the sled team. Well, you can't find a sled team, but the field crew, because they get crap done.
Field
crew is dope.
They can basically do everything a scavenger can do, but twice as good.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they look really cool while doing
they
it.
They definitely do.
And, you know, every card, you know, it affects population as well.
Right.
And so while a scavenger and refugee is equivalent to just one population, a field crew is four.
Right.
Yeah, so that's really good.
The only other cards that have a high population are the tribe families, and they have four and five. However, they can't do anything without tools.
Right.
Much like the refugee. But the field crew has a population of four and can get crap done.
Right.
So that's why it's like, dude, you need the field crews.
Yeah. But yeah, you can also hire thugs to come join your...
Because, I mean, why not?
Yeah. And all they want is just a lot of food and medicine. They don't really care in what order or in what kind of quantity. They just want a lot of your food and medicine. But when you send them to battle... they get stuff done just like a grenade.
Yes. Give a group of thugs one hand grenade.
Right.
Crap goes down.
You're probably going to have a good shot of winning the battle, yeah.
So how does playing this game work out? Like, what are you trying to do most of the time? I know I had a couple of different strategies, but I'm curious as to what you guys did in your games.
Right. Well, again, like I said earlier, I tried to keep my deck thin at one point. Here's the thing. The expansion to the game, I believe it's the HQ expansion, adds tribal leaders to the game. And these are going to give you basically a special ability that only you can do. And so there's things like the mentor, who is...
I had the mentor.
I know.
Adam. Let me explain. Like,
okay.
So the mentor teaches refugees how to do things, basically.
Right.
So you can actually equip a refugee to other survivors like a tool, basically,
mm-hmm.
that can be used to add to their dig, their hunt, attack, so on.
Right.
Basically, it's just a buff to any ability because they actually know how to do things now.
Right.
Just the mentor is this old wise man who can teach his ways. You
That's
know?
Right, yeah. Well, the two times I've played with the tribal leaders, I've ended up with, spoilers, the cannibal and the butcher. And the cannibal, as you can imagine, is going to allow you to consume one of your tribe members or turn them into three food, which you can then used to recruit others. And the butcher does the same thing, only he's going to, on top of selling you for food, harvest your organs and sell those for medicinal purposes. And this just really thins out your deck. And each time I've tried this strategy, it has not ended well. I have lost by a very wide margin. So... to answer your question, Seth, my strategies have not been panning out.
All right.
As of late, yeah.
So when I played with Adam, we got almost no medicine. So did that change when
it
you
did.
Played it again? Okay.
Yeah, I think the medicine ended up evening out quite a bit. And I'll say this does play a lot better with multiple people as opposed to just one opponent.
Sure.
And it plays a lot better with the expansions. I think... having every expansion that was made for the game in the second edition is a brilliant move because we played it initially just with the base game. It felt a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like you could puzzle this out and play the same strategy each time and probably win. But the expansions add quite a bit. They add more contested resources. They add the ability to build buildings and store cards. That you can play at a later date. I would say the expansions triple the number of cards that you can insert into the game.
And the artwork in the game.
I know.
I was waiting this whole time.
I know.
I don't want to just ramble, even though I ramble a lot. But, artwork like this makes me excited, though.
Yeah.
And I love the artwork for the reprint.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the artwork just earlier for the original.
Right.
Very disappointing.
Right.
But I will say I've seen the reprint first, so maybe if that was the first artwork you saw him, I think it was pretty good. But and it's not bad.
Yeah, this
but
game
they definitely
is...
improved it a lot when they did the reprint.
Right.
And the field crew, we've already mentioned it several times.
Mm-hmm.
I made a comment about how they look good while doing it, and it's true. They look super cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how there are four agents,
right.
I'm gonna call them agents,
yeah.
just for the heck of it, pictured on the card, and then the population it is four, so
right.
that all kind of lines up and makes sense that way. The in the recon expansion, they add the assassin, which functions very similar to the sniper team card,
right.
because the ability is that it can just take out a single unit
right.
card when it's played, like at any time. Like, it doesn't have to be your turn,
right. We should talk about the sniper team.
Yes, I'm, yeah. Well, actually, the assassin, I think, is what I did
yeah.
to you.
Yes.
So, in the second game, when he had the butcher and was just killing his people left and right, he relied heavily on the drill sergeant.
Right.
which is may choose up to two cards from your discard pile and shuffle them into your deck, then draw two cards.
Right.
Well, his deck was so thin because he had killed because he had killed everyone.
Right.
That what his diabolical thing is that he'd play a drill sergeant, shuffle like four cards.
Yeah.
And then the odds of him drawing the two that he wanted are very high.
Right. And it was working for me.
It was working for
me. Until you hired an assassin.
And so I very stealthily hired an assassin. I don't even think you and Mr. Powell knew I had an assassin.
No, I didn't.
And finally, it gets to your turn, and I super casually go, hey, so you're going to play the drill sergeant again? Ha ha.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe. And you put him on the table, and I just whip out an assassin and kill him. And it ruined your whole turn.
It did. The rest of my hand were just refugees. They were just shocked. They just
so the refugees were useless, and so you had one tool though.
I did.
And so you're like, I'm gonna at least dig, and what you dug up was junk, which is literally the most useless. Like, it's nothing. It's junk.
It is. It just is nothing for you.
Your turn was over in like 6 seconds.
Right.
And then we all just busted out laughing, of course. Yeah. But
I'll say of the three games we've talked about tonight, this was by far my favorite.
I would agree.
The cards do so many different things, and the stories we were able to tell once we figured this game out were a lot of fun. There's a lot of narrative here that you can infuse into a game. So there was a turn, again, that one game we played where you had the assassin. So I know he has the assassin now, and it's like the final turn of the game, and I know he's going to kill one of my people. So I just send them all out.
Yeah, he did this funny, he goes, scatter.
Right.
And he put all four of his cards on the table.
Right.
And just let me choose like which one I wanted to kill. And naturally I killed the engineer.
Right.
Because the engineer requires, you know, allows you to build the buildings.
Yeah.
You were the only player that game building. You had four of them.
Well, it's in my DNA.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Powell and I had no buildings at all. You had four buildings, and it was like with the same engineer card, though.
Right.
The same guy was just going ape with the buildings. So on the last turn, I finally got my revenge. I was like, I'm killing this engineer. But
and then another turn, again, when I was the butcher, I had killed so many of my people in my colony. I drew a hand of four shovels and one spear. And so I just had an empty like courtyard full of tools and nobody to use them.
Yep.
Yeah. So again, a lot of fun just kind of role playing as your tribal leader in this post-apocalyptic Arctic winter wonderland was a lot of fun.
Last note I'll say about the artwork is that if you can make a courier look cool.
Yeah, somebody who's just delivering mail.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to like mailmen and such, but
this chick is like jumping off of a
cliff.
This
chick is doing like parkour with a...
Yeah.
You see this and I'm like, I want this card.
And something that we don't talk a lot about, but I think we should, is that board games oftentimes fall prey to the generalization of just putting busty women in scantily clad outfits in their games. And I appreciate this game a lot for the artwork. First of all, they put a woman on the new cover of the second edition firing a pistol and just looking all sorts of awesome. But this courier card, this is a woman jumping across a cliff. The rogue, the scout, all just very cool, very awesome women.
Rogue is not a woman.
Could be.
Well, I mean, it's gender neutral, I suppose. Right? But looks like a thin...
You're interrupting my point.
I'm sorry.
My point is that this game respects women in the way I think all games should respect women and treat them as equals. It's very cool, and I think they did a really good job.
And I was kidding about the mailman. Without you, the rest of the world would fail. So, it is indeed a glorious profession. But I still rarely see you do parkour across a snowy rooftop. So, I mean, come on.
Santa, he's like the ultimate mailman. He just lives on snowy rooftops.
Santa isn't not real. For all the kids out there, Santa's totally real.
So any final thoughts on our deck building podcast, gentlemen? Did you guys have a favorite of all the games we played?
Arctic Scavengers.
I actually have to say Legendary for mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a close. I loved the co-op element, and it definitely had really unique aspects to it, but for whatever reason, maybe it was just because it was the only one I played three-player, and a three-player deck builder, especially with this like format, just added a different level of enjoyment.
Right.
And excitement when we were all able to just like laugh and do crazy things. Because instead of just that one-on-one, you have that third guy who's just the wild card, you know?
Right.
So maybe that's why, but I would have to say Arctic Scavengers for me.
Yeah, I think the reason that Legendary won over Arctic Scavengers for me was just because of kind of unlucky drawing when I played it with Adam. Like, it just seemed unbalanced because we weren't drawing any medicine, and so I'd really have to play the game again to get a more accurate view of it, I think.
Right.
But Legendary was still awesome, so it deserves its place.
Yeah, we chose these games because they each have a very different theme, and they're all good in their own right. So I think we can recommend any of these. I think it's just going to depend on what you're interested in. If you're interested in the sci-fi, outer space, colonizing the galaxy, then Eminent Domain certainly would probably be a good one for you. If you're into superheroes, you certainly can't go wrong with Marvel Legendary. And if you want to be a little bit more grounded in reality, something you can relate to as a human being, then Arctic Scavengers.
It's also a bit more gritty.
It is, yeah.
In a way, it's like the most serious of the three games, I would say.
Yeah, there's nothing in this game that you would say, well, that would never happen, or that's not possible. They're basically taking the reality, the world in which we inhabit, and just covering it in snow and venturing a guess as to what that world would be.
Yep.
You said it all.
I'm glad you guys agree.
You said it all.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of zoned out there, so I don't really know what you said, but.
So deck building, a mechanic that's been around for 10 years now, still going strong, and they're still doing new and innovative things with it. If you're interested in more deck building games, maybe none of these sparked your interest, certainly check out the Dice Tower website. They have a top 10 deck building games list there that they just recently released.
Any plans for Valentine's Day, gents?
I think my wife and I are going to have a glass of wine and a nice dinner and go to bed early because we don't get to do that often.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's lame, but I like it.
Yeah.
It's fitting.
It's what you do when you've been together for 17 years.
Yeah. It seems, I feel like if I reach that point in a relationship, that will be pretty much what I want to do.
Yeah. Life goal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Life goal.
Go to bed early.
Go to bed early. Yeah. I'm going to lunch, so that's cool.
Nice. Nice. Anything else we want to say tonight? What episode is this of the podcast? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
24.
24. I think you're right.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. Well, this has been, or not been, episode 24.
I'm sorry. I can't find it. 24.
24.
Yes.
This has been episode 24 of the Board Game Point of View. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We love you so much.
Send Steven some more love mail.
Yeah, I have so much hate mail.
Good night.
My inbox is full. Anyways, that's a wrap.
That's right. We'll talk to you all again in episode 25.
Peace. Starts to explain it like there's superheroes, villains. You like draw the superheroes, draw the villains, game over.
Punch the villains. You gotta save the innocent.
No, you don't punch them.
No.
You attack them.
No.
Okay. No, you do attack them.
You hug them.
I don't think you played the right game.
This is back to My Little Pony Legendary, where I use the power of friendship.
That's right. Legendary Encounters, My Little Pony.
This is the alien one.
the face hugging?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. Picked up on it.
Nice. I got it, too. I just wasn't fast enough.
Right. Sure you did.
I got it, two guys.